Hello and welcome to the Trailer House Podcast, episode 3. This week we've got, obviously, my fellow housemate, Michael.
Hello!
And we've got my fellow housemate, Chris.
Hello!
As always, if you guys have been listening to the previous podcasts, we talk about movies, games, TV shows, anything else you guys would be interested in, and generally a little bit of banter that we throw in ourselves. Do apologise for the banter, but the rest of it's pretty informative, so stick with it. Obviously, this week, as standard, we go through the normal, so everybody has their own particular thing they like this week and want to talk a little bit about. We'll start off with Mick this week, if you don't mind. Mick, what you got for me?
Yeah, no problem. My choice this week is a film I've been very excited for. It's a fantastic-looking Pacific Rim. The story revolves around when an alien attack threatens the Earth's existence from deep inside the sea fissure inside the Pacific Ocean. And when the conventional weapons even just don't cut the mustard, the world comes together to create giant robots, or Jaegers as they're called, which are piloted by two humans and deployed to fight off a 100-foot monster menace, or the, and I'll try and pronounce this, Kaiju Monsters, we'll just stick with. As it's starring Charlie Hunnam, Rinko Kikuchi, Stringer Bell, and Hellboy. Well, actually, it's Idris Elba and Ron Perlman. But I'll tell you right now, I'd watch the shit out of a film where Stringer Bell from The Wire and Hellboy fights a monster using Power Rangers-style robots fueled by crack shipped in from Baltimore. This is directed by Guillermo del Toro, and the effects are done by the superb Industrial Light and Magic. And even judging by what I've seen in the two main trailers and the two TV spots, the effects look just fucking amazing. For me, personally, this film came out of nowhere. I had no idea it was even in production until I saw that first sweet trailer a few months back. And you know what? It's actually nice to see a film which shows global humanity coming together to fight a common enemy and pull resources. It's been a while since we've seen something like that. I think the last time it was probably back in the mid-90s with Independence Day. Now, if this is your kind of thing, you want to go on to comicbooknews.com. You can see posters dedicated to all five of the Megazords. Sorry, I mean Jaegers. There's the American Gypsy Dagger, the main one that you would see in the trailer there. China's Crimson Typhoon, which is my personal favourite as it looks absolutely fucking boss. And I assume it's made by at least 4,000 sweatshops all at once. There's Australia's Striker Eureka, the one with the boob missiles. Russia's mental-looking Cherno Alpha, which actually looks like it's got a massive bucket on its head. And finally, there's Japan's slick-looking Coyote Tango. Now, the last thing I'll ever say about this film on this podcast is that even though I'm not a fan of 3D, this is to be shown in IMAX 3D, where I think it'll look absolutely bloody stunning. What do you guys think?
Definitely. I've got to agree with you, Mick. As soon as I saw that first trailer for it, I nearly lost my mind. It's one of those big sort of childhood things for me. It's, you know, just playing with your action figures, having like your Jurassic Park T-Rex fighting your little action man sort of six
inch. Do your impression, Chris.
Sorry?
Do your impression.
Oh, the Rocket Punch! that should be the hashtag for the film.
Anything where you have a giant robot with rocket elbows punching a monster, I'm sold. I'm there. I'll buy your damn ticket.
The trailer literally has everything I would ever want in a film. It's got a giant robot lamping a giant monster with one of those, you know, massive Yara Viking oil tankers. giant robots, giant monsters, and also Rocket Punch! What does it not have? It's even got booby missile, you know. So it's just brilliant. I can't see this being a bad. In fact, even if it's a terrible film, it's still going to be brilliant.
You guys will probably know this answer more than I do because I can't, for the life of me, can't remember my name. But in trailer one, you see a very famous voice, or you hear a very famous voice from a certain Portal game.
Yes.
Which I can't remember what it's called, but it's the main character from Portal. Yeah,
it's Kratos. The voice. It's or GLaDOS, the AI in the game.
Ah, that's it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really nice touch.
Yeah, definitely.
But no, I totally agree with Chris. Like, even if it fails and it is an absolute box office flop, it's going to be one of those cult films, I think, that people are just be like, oh, crack it on. It's a good laugh. It's absolutely terrible. But you have to watch it still. It's one of those things. So yeah, I give it the good old thumbs up so far. I wasn't overly taken by the first trailer, if I'm brutally honest. I was like, looks all right, yeah. I mean, Rocket Punch, you know, as cheesy as it is. But, like, in subsequent trailers, and releases and sort of bits and bobs that's been leaked and stuff, I've created a little warm place in my heart for it. I'm just like, oh man, it's going to hark back to when I was like 10.
Yeah.
In fact, this is such a good movie thus far that me and Chris have actually recorded our own homemade trailers for it.
Yeah. Tyneside Rim.
If you guys are ever out there or lucky enough, you may get to see them. I can't guarantee the production value, but yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely made on the cheap, definitely. It cost probably around £2.50.
Literally, I was running on just 10 pence mix-ups. But yeah, like I say, if you guys out there haven't seen any of the trailers yet, do yourselves a favour, go and check it out. It's on the page, you know, Trailer House on Facebook, it's on the blog and everything as well. You'll love it. And if you don't love it, you're wrong. So
anybody that's going to look for it, the TV spots are nice, but really you need to go and see the WonderCon footage, which is amazing, yep. And Trailer 1 and Trailer 2, which show a great deal of stuff, yeah. And are just excellent, and shows you exactly what you need, which is the giant robots punching Godzilla's mom in the face.
Also, a third option is if you go to the cinema, say, to see the new Star Trek film or something like that, you might be very, very lucky to see the trailer on the big screen. I saw it with Oblivion with Tom Cruise in a couple of weeks ago, and it was just brilliant. Just absolutely just genius. Just the noise and everything in the cinema was just going to be great. Total popcorn, lads and lasses, night out movie. It's just going to be great. I know for a fact.
It's going to look absolutely spectacular on IMAX. It really is. And I think the 3D is going to be really good as well.
So, that's that one wrapped up. Cheers, Mick. Thanks very much for that. It's pretty much exactly what I wanted to hear. So, cheers. Chris, your turn, mate. What have you got for?
Right, this week we've got the upcoming action survival horror video game from Naughty Dog called The Last of Us. It's been a long time coming. Due for worldwide release, I believe, on June 14th, so quite soon. PlayStation 3 exclusive, so far as I know. That release date may change. Like I say, that's just the most recent information I've found. The general plot of the game is the story set two decades after a cordyceps-type fungus kills millions, basically a global pandemic, resulting with nature gradually retake and abandon cities and towns. The survivors, such as they are, live in quarantine zones, completely under the control of the remainder of the US military. They're basically, you know, your big brother sort of scenario, screening people for infection, under martial law, executing people, you know, if they're discovered to have the infection. You play as a guy called Joel, a hardened black marketeer within one of the quarantine zones. He goes through an event which makes him promise an old friend that he'll get a young 14-year-old girl called Ellie away from the harsh regime to a resistance group known as the Fireflies. So basically, general game is the whole adventure. The character Joel is voiced by Troy Baker, who I believe is also voicing Batman and potentially the Joker in Arkham Origins. Ellie, the 14-year-old girl, is voiced by an actress called Ashley Johnson, who, if any of you guys have seen The Avengers, she's the blonde girl Captain America rescues, sort of in the finale.
Oh, yeah.
So I was actually surprised by that. It was a nice little sort of thing that I found there. But basically, it's survival game from the guys who did the Uncharted series. Obviously, you've got your infected enemies, sort of your zombies with varying abilities, if you like, you know, your infected humans. A bit like it's a cordyceps fungus, which, you know, if you've seen the Planet Earth TV series with David Attenborough, there's a little segment with, like, ants and stuff. Like, it makes them go mental and, you know, they just spread these spores everywhere. So it's a pretty eerie thing. But at the same time, you've also got your human survivors, who are obviously desperate, will do anything. So it's pretty gruesome, sort of harsh existence. The actual developers, Naughty Dog, have developed an AI system called, or what they call, the Balance of Power. This allows enemies to react realistically to any combat situation they're placed in, like taking cover if they see you, you know, and get the drop on you. They'll shout for help. They'll even take advantage of your weaknesses. So you run out of ammo, they'll shout at their mates to rush you, you know, and they'll all gang up and they'll come from different directions, stuff like that. And it's, like I say, it looks really, really, really good. It also like works with dynamic stealth as well. So basically the same thing, but for the player. The character Ellie is completely AI controlled. I was hoping for maybe some sort of co-op, but the more I've seen of the game, the better it would be, basically, without it. I'm just trying to think of other stuff.
It's interesting that they've took it down that route by having Ellie just being AI as opposed to, you know, a drop-in. I suppose it's for more for the drama as well. If you have somebody taking control of Ellie and you see Ellie charging up the street shooting at people, it might take away from what a character actually is.
One of the things that Naughty Dog have done really well, I mean, I don't know if either of you guys have ever played the Uncharted games, but the character interactions is phenomenally good, and this looks like it's going to be the best yet. Ellie is, like I say, she's only a 14-year-old girl. She's grown up in the world, basically, after the pandemic, the damage is done, so she's wise beyond her years. You know, she doesn't think, you know, nothing of seeing somebody get killed. It's just life as it is. Where Joel, the character you play as, he's obviously lived through it, survived. So he's, you know, he's a dark horse. And I think basically what they're going to do is the game will start out where, you know, they're going to conflict with each other, Joel and Ellie. And obviously as it goes, it's going to become sort of a father-daughter relationship. You know, she obviously gets into danger or, you know, gets kidnapped or goes missing or something like that. And he has to dive in and rescue her. But I think it's going to be brilliant. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it, and even considering getting a PS3 again purely because of it.
I think we'll all be getting a PS, be on PS3 and PS4, won't it?
Yeah, I think it's PS4. Yeah, I'm sure I heard a murmur just when you're talking about where it is in release date, Chris. I'm sure I heard a murmur a while back that it's going to be dual platform, like Watch Dogs we covered a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it certainly might get released on PS4. I would think. But as I said, I mean that remains to be seen. The general sort of consensus is, I mean, initially when the very first ever trailer dropped, Naughty Dog were really, really worried because it dropped about the same time as Dead Island. You know, the big, you know, sort of CG dramatic trailer that came out,
and the one that the dramatic trailer that just didn't deliver the actual game that was promised by the trailer.
Yeah, what it was is the Last of Us trailer. Was the very sort of early gameplay of what we see now, where Dead Island was that full CG, looked brilliant, and obviously later down the line when the actual gameplay footage came out, there was actually very little difference from the Last of Us trailer to the gameplay, where Dead Island was clearly a completely, you know, wasn't anywhere near what that trailer was promising.
Not even close.
So yeah, it was a completely different thing. But
just saying there, Chris, as well, obviously both of you last two lads, with you saying AI opponent, sorry, AI companion, I should say.
Yeah.
Do you not think it's been done as a conscious decision not to? Because if you remember, for who's played it or interested in it, Dead Space 3 came out a couple of months back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, actually quite a few months back there now. And what they did is they introduced a second playable character so your friend could drop in and drop out.
Yeah.
And the general consensus was from the community that it ruined the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The whole thing was you feeling like you're by yourself and there's nobody going to come and help you. It's you by yourself doing your thing, and you know you've got to dig yourself out of all these scrapes with your friend being there as well. I mean, I think you would lose a lot of attention because you'd be stalking around, and then you'd be, you know, talking about what you've done that day, or you know, if you fancy going out for a couple of drinks or whatever. And I think it would take away from the game quite a lot. So I'm quite happy that it is going to be just a single player game, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely, and you're definitely right with Dead Space 3. I mean, I haven't even played it, mainly because of that. I just thought it took away so much from it, and, you know, you hit a pinnacle with Dead Space 2. You know, it improved on everything for Dead Space, the original Dead Space, and then Dead Space 3, they just went, you know, let's everybody play it, and, you know, it's supposed to be survival threat. You know, you're meant to be playing it by yourself in the dark, scaring the shit out of yourself. just as a final note as well, the actual Last of Us, for a game that hasn't been released, it's won, let's have a quick look, probably around 20 awards before it's even been released, you know, for like best games.
I'll come back to that in a minute, mate, about obviously when we do the five most viewed things, because it's pretty interesting, to be honest with you, so I'll touch on that a little bit as well in a minute.
Cool. That's me.
Sweet. And I suppose that leaves on to me. So thanks very much, Chris, mate. Much obliged. What I chose this week for anybody out there in podcast land is the Joseph Gordon-Levitt produced, directed, and written film, Don John, which is a play on words from Don Juan, the legendary sort of womanizer slash sort of violent historical figure. For the people that haven't checked out the trailer yet, give you a quick synopsis. Story focuses around John Martello, which is Gordon-Levitt. He is plays the part of Don Juan for all extents and purposes, who basically focuses his entire life around pulling women, you know, being the man about town, sort of loves porn, seeing the guys, going to the gym, you know, basically everybody you hate on a daily basis. If you're listening to this podcast, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to be quite geeky. So, you know, you pretty much hate these guys. He kind of finds his life to be a little bit sort of boring and mundane after a while. So as a result, what he does is he goes out to try and find something a bit better for himself and something to focus his attentions and life on, as opposed to just kind of meaningless encounters. According to the sort of synopsis of the sort of information I could glean, he gets the name Don Juan or Don John by his ability to go out and sort of just consistently pull beautiful women. Which is, you know, a nice nickname to have, I suppose. In the film, we've got, obviously, Gordon Levitt, obviously written, directed, starred. We've also got Scarlett Johansson, who plays the main love interest. I'll come back to it in a minute, but accents, no. Julianne Moore, as well, who's in there, and Tony Danza. They are pretty much the sort of be and end all in regards to people you'll recognise and know from this film. Now, bear with me. The synopsis sounds terrible. it does. It literally sounds awful, right? And it's romantic comedy, essentially, is what it is. And that's awful as well, because I can't stand romantic comedies. But for the love of God, go and check out the Apple Trailers version of the trailer. It's the one that we obviously couldn't put up, because obviously it's Apple Trailers exclusive. It's a small intro to this trailer, okay, that's done by Jason Gordon-Levitt. He introduces it, and I would literally fall in love with that man. Sweet Lord. There's things I would do with the people on this planet just to sort of hang out with the guy. He's absolutely amazing.
This took a dark twist.
Yeah, took a dark, dark twist. Hashtag in the park. But yeah, seriously, go and check it out, guys, if you haven't seen it. It's amazing from what I can see. And just there's some little set pieces. And I hope that's all going to be in the film. And I hope we haven't seen all the little best funny bits. Because I want to say this. My brain says no, but my heart just goes, nah, you've got to say this, Adam. It's going to be good. So yeah, opinions, guys?
This particular thing, when I first seen the trailer when it came up, I knew he was working on something. But I was blown away by it. It looks like the kind of just... For a man who's writing, directing everything for the first time, it looks like a real sort of maturity to it. This looks like a guy who's been doing this for, you know, all of his life.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. The stuff in it is witty, it's sharp, I'm blown away. Let me tell you how quickly this has took on, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but I go on Imgur or Imgur or, you know, whatever.
Imgur.
We'll say Reddit, it's easier. Already there's 1,000 memes and GIFs, or GIFs, as it says today, with regarding this. And you know, if the internet is coming hard with this kind of shit, that this is going to be a popular film.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. I'm not sure, I might be wrong on this, but I don't think it's a can. Because I would have liked to have gleaned some more sort of information from people who've seen it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm quite intrigued, and like I say, usually you can spot this stuff kind of like a mile away. You think, oh, here we go, man falls in love with girl, you know, girl sort of rejects him, he tries to fight harder to win her affection, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't look like that, which surprises. I mean, the only one criticism I have about the movie as is, from what I can see, is as I mentioned, the accents, terrible, absolutely terrible.
That was actually something I was going to mention, was Scarlett Johansson, she's gorgeous. But she's got this like really strong New Jersey accent, which is great for the film. But
she can't. Nice. The woman cannot. The trouble I have with Scarlett Johansson, yeah, she's good looking and stuff like that. I get that. But I've seen her in very little where she doesn't do like, this is Scarlett Johansson now being this person, as opposed to being and encompassing the character she's meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, the phenomenal Avengers, for me, she was the weakest thing in it. Just sometimes so wooden, it's distracting. Jordan Love Hewitt Smith, Derek, whatever you call him. I can never say his name. The man is like the polar opposite of that. He's tremendous in every single thing I've seen. Phenomenal in Brick. Phenomenal in
Inception.
And now this is where my brain goes and I can't remember anything. Yes, Inception. There is obviously you know, I've started going down this path and the path is left.
Batman.
Keep digging.
Batman Rises.
Oh god, what else has he been? What's the one I'm thinking of, man? Bruce Willis. Looper.
Yeah,
okay. Not seen that yet.
I was about to go Batman.
Batman with Bruce Willis. You're confusing Die Hard. Batman and Die Hard. We need that.
He's one of that sort of new generation of Hollywood actors. You know, your Sean Connerys and everyone like that are starting to disappear now. And the sort of like the likes of him, Jeremy Renner, and sort of all of the younger actors are now stepping into sort of their sort of 30s.
Jeremy Renner won't be an actor in the next 5 years. The man is fucking useless. He's terrible.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's... Oh, God, I hate that man.
So, on that slightly sour and bitter note, I'm going to wrap that up. Thanks very much, lads, and thanks very much for the opinions. Right, and now we're moving on to the creme de resistance, the bit that I know Chris and Michael are pretty eager to hear. The top 5 trailers for the last 7 days. So, we're talking about trailers from the 23rd up until today. All right. In order, hits, I should say, we have at the top, lads, what do you think?
Is this number 5, or are we going
for number one, lads. We'll do one.
I don't know. It'll be crap. The 3 times we've done this, it's always the worst trailer out there.
Right, well, the last one then, the last of the lot, the 5th most viewed, is Maniac, featuring Frodo.
Hobbit goes 36
hits in the last 7 days. Okay, so not overly impressive, but I mean, you know, still for a film that isn't on my radar, at least, pretty impressive. You think?
Well, it's one of those ones. Apparently, it's done quite well at the Cannes Film Festival, and I think Elijah Wood would suit the sort of unhinged, absolute nutter that he portrays in the film.
He did it pretty well in Sin City, if you remember.
Yeah, that's what the consensus is. Everybody's kind of saying it's Sin City again, isn't it? Like a longer version of that.
Yeah, just with less pointy nails.
Or pointy tits. I remember there being a distinct amount of pointy tits in.
Yeah.
Number 4 on the list, we've got what we just talked about there, Don Juan. Okay, with 41 hits.
That's right. Number 1, people. What is the matter with you?
Yeah, well, no, you'll be surprised, actually, and I can sort of kind of see why, but we'll come back to that in a second. 3rd, which is the most interesting of the list here, is The Last of Us, with 49 hits. Mm. And the reason it's the most interesting is it's been up the least amount of time.
Yeah.
And the top 3 are pretty close. I mean, I think Last of Us, Chris, you put it up like 2 days ago, 1 day ago?
I think it was me. It was either me or Mick. We can never remember.
We all built as one at this stage. Since it's a success, I'm going to claim it was me that put it up.
Go on then. In that case, I put everything else. Everything.
Number 2, we've got number 2, quite ironically, we've got 52 hits, and it's the Justice League movie, The Flash Paradox.
I tell you what, people like the... Say what you will about DC and their movies, I know, you know... Taking the new Batman trilogy and obviously the amazing looking Man of Steel out of it, you know, they're a bit sort of crap off their non-comic book stuff, and even their comic book stuff's been on a slight decline depending on who you ask. But their animation stuff has always been exceptional. Always been exceptional. Everything from special sort of one-off movies like Under the Hood to their Justice League Unlimited series and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's what I was just about to say. Like, what they've done essentially is they've got that TV series out there like more than a couple of years ago, like 5+ years ago, the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, they found it was a winning formula, so they stuck with it.
Yeah.
And they released one-off high-quality animation stories away from like the kids, because it's not the kind of stuff you see on like Cartoon Network and things. It's like high-end, you know, really well voice-acted stuff. I mean, you know, the Green Lantern movie that came out a while back, Nathan Fillion, the Green Lantern that everybody wants.
Man crush.
Yeah, they just nailed it. Absolutely nailed it to the wall.
Ryan Reynolds should be in the Green Lantern, Adam.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Who is this Ryan Reynolds? Who are you, Michael? Like, call me. Who are damn it, Michael. Trying to get real on this podcast.
That's him that was angry for the rest of the night.
I'm just going to go and just punch my girlfriend. I'm just going to punch her in the face repeatedly and just cry. and last but not least, we have, surprisingly, with 53 hits, just pipping the Flash movie to the post, Meet the Millers, surprisingly. Now,
I wonder why that one was popular.
Folks, go on, sorry, Mick, say that again.
I wonder why that one was popular. Could it be the fact that Jennifer Aniston's half butt naked in it?
Yeah. Yes, the trailer's 2 minutes, 3 seconds long. She's about a minute and 45 seconds of Jennifer Aniston lingerie getting wet.
Why I'm watching it now.
but yeah, I mean, I didn't know about it. Okay, I mean, I watched it like sort of, I think it was yesterday I watched it. And I didn't watch it when you guys posted it. I'm assuming it was Chris, since he posted everything. Yeah.
that was me. I mean, I'm not one for sort of like your romantic, I'm going to call it a romantic comedy. It's more comedy than romance, but it's, you know, sort of your road trip, you know, sort of stuff. They get in trouble and hilarity ensues. Generally, I just avoid them because I don't actually just, they just do nothing. As far as I don't find them funny, where the trailer for this actually did make us laugh, even more so than The World's End. With Simon Pegg in.
That's what I said. I was going to say I wasn't overly taken by the idea of it, and then I watched the trailer and I was like, yeah, I'll definitely go and see that.
Yeah, it looks all right. Looks all right.
Yeah. What about you, Mick?
Yeah, no, I'm sitting just watching the trailer again now. Actually, the animation, it's fantastic. It's sort of that westernized sort of manga knockoff that it's done. The voice acting in these has always been just tremendous as well.
I can't help but feeling that Mick might have been caught on the Justice League.
Yeah.
Have you moved on and I haven't realised?
Oh yeah, we've been talking about
Sorry, I didn't realise I was watching the Justice League trailer again. That sort of zoomed out. Are we talking about Jennifer Aniston's tits?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm back on Jennifer Aniston's tits. I'm back there. I'm here. I'm with you. It actually looks really funny, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
I quite like her as a comedic actress. Obviously, she come up in Friends and that, you know, so she knows her trade. I think it's going to be really good. And yet again, Jennifer Aniston's tits. I don't know what more I can say.
What I like about that is that distracted you so much, you talked about the previous trailer again.
I know. It's because Jennifer Aniston's tits, and I went, I'm going to have a look at the just, because I had the Just League loading while we were talking about it, and then it came on. And then I just got lost there. That's how good it is, people. Go into the Justice League trailer. It's enough that you ruin a podcast by not looking at it.
You ruin a podcast and literally ignore breasts just completely.
I got back on the boobs.
You go to an animated superhero film over breasts.
It wasn't my fault. The Flash was going zoom, 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 zoom.
Sorry, Michael, too late. Questions were raised. Mistakes were had.
The last week you see us, folks. Bye now.
Ta-da! Actually, on that note, actually, I'm going to wrap it up, you guys, if you're okay with that.
Yep.
Obviously, ending the show, you guys, as always, please drop us a line if you like these. Even if you don't like them, please drop us a line and inflate our egos and tell us that you love us. Check out, obviously, Trailer House on Facebook, Twitter, and plus you can patch up all the previous podcasts on our new home for podcasts, no longer Blogspot. Michael, where are we hosting at the minute?
I don't know, do you?
Of course I do. I'm just testing you, goddammit. Make sure you're not messaging up.
The best thing for everybody to do, as per normal, is just go via Blogspot.
Yeah, there you go.
Everything's linked on there.
Sweet.
Can't it on the Facebook, it'll be on the Twitter. If it's not on the Twitter, it'll be on the Blogspot.
There you go. See, order from the horse's mouth. So it's goodbye from, obviously, myself. Goodbye from Mick.
Bye.
And goodbye from Chris.
Bye.
You stay classy, podcasters. I don't know.